we're in the middle of a series called Heroes. And if you haven't been with us, I'll kind of catch up to speed in just a second. But a few days ago, I was reminded about how fast life goes. I grew up, I'm a big superheroes fan, and my very first favorite TV show actually dealt with a superhero. And some of you may remember this. Remember this guy? Batman. There we go. Anybody watch Batman? Right? Yeah, there we go. This is the very first Batman. Now, some of you think Michael Keaton was the first Batman. Okay, you're wrong. All right, this is Adam West, all right? And I loved this TV show growing up. Now, sadly, Adam West just passed away a few days ago. He was 88 years old. And when I heard that, I thought, wait, Batman's 88 years old? How did that happen, right? And so I grew up, I don't know if you did this or not, but I would put a towel around my neck as a cape, and I would run around in the backyard or in our home, either as Adam West as Batman or Superman, sometimes Spider-Man, but usually Batman or Superman. And so what would happen, you know, maybe you did this, but you know, we take the towel off and we grow up and we move on. But I still think there's that little boy or little girl in us that still wants to be a hero, that still wants to save the day, as Andy talked about last week. And I would observe this from time to time in my own life. For example, when my kids were younger and it was Halloween, I would dress up with them and go trick-or-treating. And the reason for that, some parents, you don't do this. You just borrow the Halloween candy when your kids are sleeping and you didn't really do the hard work, okay? So I felt like I'm going to borrow the candy, so I need to dress up too. So I would typically dress up as a superhero. Now, one year I dressed up as my father-in-law, and that didn't go over very well, so I wouldn't recommend that. And just so you know, this isn't some preacher story I'm telling you. Here's an actual photo from one of our trick-or-treat sessions many years ago. This is us right here. This is Hannah Montana, if y'all remember Hannah Montana, and then Cole's rocking Yoda here, and I've got Superman, and I got the Superman belt on. Now, the reason I say this is I still think there's something in us that wants to kind of be a hero, kind of save the day. And that's one of the reasons we're in this series called Heroes, because there's some challenging things going on. We talked about that week one. In fact, let me show you the plot line, the storyline of any superhero movie or any hero movie, and this actually connects to our life, wherever we may be. We show you this week one, and this is the plot line of any superhero movie. Once upon a time, it kind of sets the scene. But then suddenly, all of a sudden, there's a crisis. There's a challenge. There's a difficulty. There's something. Aliens attack planet Earth. But that's the bad news. The good news is but wait, the hero helps save the day, and then we all live happily ever after. And the reason we said this connects with us is because we all have some really good things going on in our lives right now. But we also have some challenging things going on in our lives right now. But we said in week one that the challenging situations, those are the opportunities. That current challenge is the current opportunity to be a hero. So week one, we asked the question, in your current situation and with your current challenge, what would a hero do? And then in week two, Andy so powerfully and beautifully talked about how a hero saves the day. So today, I want to continue talking about this. And to do that, I want to tell you about the hero's journey. Anytime a script writer is writing the script of a superhero movie or a hero's movie, they actually process through two questions, all right? And these questions are actually not just important for superhero movies, they're actually important for your story and my story as well. The first question is this: do I have what it takes? Does Bruce Wayne have what it takes to overcome his parents' death and deal with the criminals of Gotham City? Does Katniss Everdeen have what it takes to win the Hunger Games? Does Superman have what it takes? But this isn't just reserved for superheroes. Do I have what it takes to be a really great dad? Do I have what it takes to be a really good mom or a spouse? Do I have what it takes to be the sales leader at work? Do I have what it takes to be the student that ultimately graduates? Do I have what it takes in the role of life that I've been given? And I'll just be honest with you. Just be very transparent. This question right here has haunted me for most of my life. Any situation I go in, there's this insecurity that bubbles up in me. Do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes? And as I've talked to many, many men over the years, I'm not the only one. And ladies, I'm sure this applies to you as well. But there's another second question that's connected to this. And that question is this: am I worthy of the task? Am I worthy of the task? Many of us feel unworthy. And this whole idea of worthiness really bubbles up in hero movies. Let me give you an example. How many of you are Avenger or Marvel fans? Any Marvel fans? Yeah, yeah. Aren't you excited about Spider-Man coming out? Yeah, I'm so excited about that. Well, there's another hero in the Marvel characters, Thor. And Thor, his whole character is based on this. The storyline is based on who is worthy to carry Thor's hammer. In fact, for those of you that are Avenger fans, you'll remember this Avengers 2. All the Avengers are sitting around and they're looking at Thor's hammer and they're wondering, is anyone else worthy of the hammer? Because the challenge with Thor's hammer is no one's worthy, and whoever is worthy can carry the hammer. And so Iron Man tries to lift it and he can't do it. And David Banner is the Hulk. He tries to lift it and he can't do it. Even Captain America can't do it. Thor's the only one. And in fact, the first Thor, that whole storyline, see if this sounds eerily familiar to another story that you've heard. This whole topic of worthy. And this is a little preview of where we're going. Thor is the son of a king. And Thor comes to planet Earth. And there's an enemy that comes to attack planet Earth. And so Thor, near the end of the movie, and just so you know, I'm about to spoil the movie. So if you've never seen the movie, I apologize for that. But you've had 7 years to see this movie, okay? So just so you know, all right? So Thor ends up giving his life and sacrificing himself to save his friends. But as he does, he's proven himself worthy of the hammer, and he's brought back to life, conquers the enemy, and saves his friends. Now, here's my question. Does that sound familiar to you? Have you ever heard a storyline like that, the son of a king who saves his friends? And so this whole topic, am I worthy of the task and do I have what it takes, is a really important issue for superheroes and you and me. Now, the cool thing for heroes as they process through this is there's something that's been given to them. And you see this play out in movies. Every hero has a guide. Every hero has a guide that helps him or her process through these two questions. For example, Bruce Wayne had Alfred, and Alfred lets Bruce Wayne know you have what it takes and you're worthy of the task that Gotham City needs you to do. Luke Skywalker, do you have what it takes? Luke had a guide. He had Yoda. Yoda's telling him you have what it takes and you're worthy of the task of being a Jedi. Same with Katniss Everdeen. Katniss Everdeen had a guide to let her know that she could win the Hunger Games. Her guide was Woody from Cheers. And so basically, right? So Woody's telling her, hey, you can do this, all right? Everybody knows your name, and you are worthy of the task, all right? So here's why I say all this, all right? So let's go back to this. Here's the plot line or the journey. The hero's journey is, do I have what it takes, and am I worthy of the task? Now, this isn't just true for Katniss and Bruce Wayne and for Luke Skywalker. It's true for you and for me. In fact, here's the deal. You've got some challenging things going on in your life right now. And for some of us, we might feel like it's such a powerful, difficult thing to lift forward. We can't lift it. We feel stuck. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's a relationship situation. You just know if you can't, you're just not sure if you can move past this. Maybe it's a situation at work. Maybe it's a health situation, and we feel like this thing stands in our way and we're stuck. We can't move forward. In fact, let me show you symbolically what that task or what that difficulty or what that challenge looks like for us. It's this. This is representing a difficult challenge that you just don't feel like you can lift or move forward. It looks kind of like this. Kind of looks like Thor's hammer. Now, this is the real deal, folks. Now, I know Thor's not real, and this isn't from the planet Asgard, but this is a real deal because the folks down at Pinewood Studios, where all the Marvel movies are shot, they made this for us. And basically what this means is there's an insignia on the top side of this that says, anyone who is worthy to carry the hammer will have the power of Thor. And yet, the problem is there are situations, struggles, difficulties, challenges in our lives. It just seems like we can't lift it up, and we feel stuck. But here's the good news. You have a guide. And there's a guide that wants to come alongside you and say, you know what? Together, we can lift this. Together, we can do this. Together, what I want to show you, this guide is going to say, is that you're worthy of the task and you can do what this task is requiring you to do. And I want to tell you who that guide is. Put my cards on the table. Your guide, who wants to be your guide in your journey, is named Jesus. Jesus wants to be your guide. He wants to show you that you have what it takes and you are worthy of the task. In fact, Andy said this last week, and I love when Andy says this, and I'll put this on the screen. He said, Jesus, our guide, makes life better and makes us better at life. Jesus makes life better and makes us better at life. And so what I want to do for a few minutes, I want to share with you how Jesus wants to be your guide and how whatever situation that is facing you seems impossible to lift and move forward, Jesus wants to specifically talk about the answer to the question, do you have what it takes and are you worthy of the task? And how he answers that question for us is an invitation for you as you move out toward this week. In whatever challenging, heavy situation may either be facing you now or will face you in the future. So here's what I want us to see in terms of what Jesus says about this. To do that, we're going to hear from a very credible source today. His name was John, the Apostle John. And we could argue that John knew Jesus better than anybody. And here's why we could argue that. Not only was John one of the original 12 disciples, he was also in the inner circle of the 12. You see, every leader typically they have a team, but then there's an inner circle of that team. And Jesus is no different. He had the 12 disciples, but there was an inner team, an inner circle of three: Peter, James, and our guy, John. He ends up writing 5 books in the New Testament: the Gospel of John, John 1, 2, and 3, and the book of Revelation. John saw the ministry of Jesus, he saw Jesus crucified, and he saw Jesus brought back from the dead. And not only that, this is how John describes himself, which is kind of interesting. John describes himself as, hey, just so y'all know, I'm the one that Jesus loved. True story. Now, I thought Jesus loved everyone, but apparently, according to John, yeah, but he loved me more, okay? So that's, I don't know how Peter and James felt about that, but John's talking trash right there in the Gospel of John, right? That's awesome, all right? So what, in essence, John is saying, hey, you know what? I know Jesus pretty well. He loved me, and then he does something remarkable, that when he sees Jesus brought back from the dead, he just can't stop talking about it. He talks to anyone that will come within, you know, distance to him, he's going to talk about Jesus. And finally, Rome, the Roman Empire, they just kind of got tired of this. So what they do is they exile John to an island called Patmos. And while he's on this island, he ends up writing the final book of the Bible. And while he's there, he says something. He says that Jesus revealed something to him. And as Jesus is revealing something to him on this island, he begins to write it down. And what he wrote down is ultimately what we were given in the Bible called the Book of Revelation. Now, the Book of Revelation is a hotly debated book. And part of the reason for that is John writes this book in an ancient Jewish literature style called apocalyptic. And it's full of imagery and spectacular images, and it can make it seem very difficult to understand, which I totally understand. And there's, you know, prophecy about the end times and all of that kind of stuff. We're not talking about that today. But in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, John begins to give us a glimpse of heaven. And as he begins to give us a glimpse of heaven, based on what he says Jesus revealed to him, and again, this is John, kind of got to go, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. Based on what he sees and based on what he writes down in this glimpse of heaven that he sees, it actually gives us a powerful answer to the question, do you have what it takes and are you worthy of the task that is before you? And so what I want to do for just a few minutes, I just want to walk us through 10 verses that help answer this question and why this is such a powerful invitation of what Jesus has to say to those two questions and to your hero's journey. So this is Revelation chapter 5. And he begins with the word then. And the reason he begins with the word then is because he's telling us, hey, Revelation chapter 4, here's this glimpse of heaven, and he continues this. So Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 says this: then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. So let me describe this. What John is saying is he sees God, our heavenly Father, the creator of the ends of the earth, the creator of the universe, on his throne. And on his right hand, he sees he's got a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. Now, there's a lot of debate about what's inside the scroll and what's going on here, and a lot of interesting debate. But you could sum it up kind of generally to say what's in the scroll, you could say it's the ways of God, the will of God, the wisdom of God, the presence of God, a relationship with God is all bound up in this scroll. And there's a lot of debate on what's in that. But what happens in verse 2 actually shifts the attention from what's in the scroll to a very important and significant issue. And this is where we are led in Revelation chapter 5, verse 2. He sees a mighty angel. He says, I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is, and here's our word, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? So John's given us this glimpse of heaven. He's writing this down, and he says, okay, there was this mighty angel, and this angel has a question. Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? And here's what all of heaven hears. Nothing. Silence. You ever see the movie Ferris Bueller? How about that for a transition, right? Remember when Ferris is not at school that day and his teacher begins to do roll call and what does he say? That's right. And there's total silence, right? Right? So what's happening here. This might be the first time in church history that Revelation 5:2 and Ferris Bueller have been connected together, okay? And maybe the last time, okay? But the point is that there was silence in heaven. And so suddenly, we'd love to know what's in the scroll. We'd love to know the ways and the wisdom and the future and the presence and the power of God. And yet the issue is, we can't even get inside it because no one is worthy to open the scroll. And this is what John says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 3, as he looked out. He said, but no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. What this means in terms of no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth, what this means is no one in the past, no one in the present, and no one in the future can take the scroll from God and open it up so that we can know God and know his ways and his wisdom and the power and his presence. And in doing so, what John begins to see is that there is a tragedy here, a travesty here. And here's why. What John knows is it's not the heart of God to keep himself away from his kids. He doesn't want to have his ways and his wisdom and his knowledge apart from his children. Not only that, John knows the story. He knows the storyline of God, which follows the storyline of a superhero movie. Once upon a time, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it was a beautiful, wonderful, perfect setting. And in that setting, he placed mankind. But in a perfect love, in a perfect situation, there has to be a choice to either stay in relationship with God or to choose not to. And as you know the story, suddenly there was a villain that appeared. Mankind decided, as represented by Adam and Eve, you know what? I think I want to be my own God. I think I can figure this thing out on my own. I'm not so sure I need God in this particular situation. We've all had our Adam and Eve moments. And in that situation, a relationship with God was broken. And sin entered the world. And sin did what sin always does. It divides. It divided us from God. It would eventually divide mankind against mankind. And that's when violence, wars and murder and strife and envy and jealousy and hatred was born. And not only did sin bring all of that, sin brought cancer and leukemia and death. None of that was the way it was supposed to be. And John knows that. And he knows what was lost. We could have known God. At one point, we did know God, and now all the things of God are taken away from us. No one is worthy to open the scrolls and to know the ways and the wisdom of God. And as a result of that, John begins to mourn. This is what happens in Revelation 5, verse 4. John says, I wept and I wept. I grieved and I grieved because no one was found who was, and here's our word again, worthy. To open the scroll or look inside, all is lost. We'll never know God, and we'll never know his ways. We'll never know his love like we once knew it. But what's interesting about this passage is that John in this moment is the only one that's crying. And it's not because he's wrong about this situation. It's because he's not seeing someone else in the picture. And as he's mourning and weeping and grieving, someone comes up to him. He calls him an elder. And he basically points John, kind of lifts John up, if you will, I would assume, as John kind of wipes his tears away. And this is what happens next. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. John, stand up. Wipe your tears away. Blink your eyes and look over there. See the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David," which are two names for Jesus tied directly to the prophecy of who he was and that he would come through the line of David. "See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is victorious. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." John, look up. Not all is lost. Actually, the lion has triumphed. And then he begins to look over there. And this is what John records that he sees in his wonderful, beautiful language. He says, Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain. This is a reference to Jesus. This is also a reference to the sacrificial system that God had set up with the Jewish people, that when you sinned, you would sacrifice a lamb as a payment for your penalty, for your sins, so that you could be right in a relationship with God. And yet what John is saying is the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is standing right there, looking as if it had been slain. Because what Jesus did on the cross is actually about to do something really powerful for us in the remaining verses. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And John writes this beautiful, unbelievably powerful verse. And then he says this, and this is powerful. He came, Jesus, came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when Jesus had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And then what happens next is incredibly powerful for so many reasons, but not the least of which is, it's going to go right back to our two questions today about a hero's journey. Do you have what it takes? And are you worthy of the task, this heavy, weighty task that stands before you? What John's about to reveal to us is going to help answer that question. And this is what happens next. They begin to break out in a new worship song. They begin to sing a new worship song. And the lyrics of this song is going to help lead us today. Something very powerful today. An invitation to you and to me today. And this is the first part of their song. They said, "You, Jesus, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain." What Jesus does is he takes the ways and the wisdom and the knowledge and the presence of God. It's now his. He is worthy. He's proven himself worthy to sit down at the right hand of God the Father. In fact, don't forget this. This is what Jesus said. "All power and all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." That's what they're talking about here. And that's phenomenal. But here's why we created this church. We've created this church because Jesus is absolutely phenomenal, remarkable, and generous. You see, Jesus could just stay there at the right hand of God the Father and soak it all in. But do you know this about Jesus? Jesus had you in mind. Jesus wants to share this with you. Jesus is a generous, wonderful, loving God. See, I don't know what you've been told about Jesus. I don't know what you've been told about God. Maybe you're here today and you think God's arms are folded and he's so disappointed in you because of something that you've done in the past. I'm telling you, what you're about to see is that Jesus isn't disappointed in you. Jesus is trying to redeem and save you. And Jesus wants to share what he did on the cross with you. That's the kind of generous God that we're dealing with. And that's what the second line, the second stanza in this song says. It doesn't just say you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain. It continues and says this, "And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation." And this is great news for you today. I don't know if you walked in today knowing this about you, but you're in the book of Revelation. You're in the book. And the reason you're in the book is because you're a person from a tribe, from a language, from a people, and from a nation. And what this worship song is saying is that what Jesus did on the cross, his blood, his worthiness flowed from Calvary to every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation. What this means is that all are welcome to experience the grace and the worthiness of Jesus because he wants to share his worthiness with you. So let's go back to one of our questions. How does this apply to our questions today? Well, am I worthy of the task? Are you worthy of the task as a father? Are you worthy of the task as a son? Are you worthy of a task as a spouse, a student, a boss? Well, here's the great thing about all of this. When it comes to worthiness, Jesus wants to share his worthiness with you. Jesus shares his worthiness with you to say, you know what? I want to take my worthiness and what I did on the cross, which, by the way, was the weightiest thing that's ever faced you, and I want to share it with you so that you can join in to the ways and the wisdom and the knowledge and the presence of God the Father. I want to share that with you. That's how much I love you. That's what Jesus is doing there. But what I hear all the time a lot, and I totally understand this, is there are a lot of us that think that we're just unworthy of God's love. And part of that may be because of something someone has said about us, maybe a parent, a coach, an ex-spouse, or whatever. Or it may be something that somebody did to us that makes us feel unworthy. Or maybe it's something that we did to us that makes us feel unworthy. And sometimes the church kind of piles on and says, you know what, you're not worthy, you're not worthy, you're not worthy. But here's what I want you to know. You're worthy. And here's why I say this. Your worthiness is proven by God's forgiveness. Your worthiness is proven by God's forgiveness. This is what this song is saying in Revelation chapter 5, that your blood purchased people from every tribe, language, and nation. And your worthiness, Jesus, you want to share your worthiness with us, but your worthiness is proven by God's forgiveness. Look, God thinks you're worthy because he sent his son for you. Now, do you have what it takes? That's our second question. Well, the great thing is the verse, the song continues to go on. And the song continues in this, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. He said, you, Jesus, continuing to sing about Jesus, you've made them, us, to be a kingdom, which means we're part of the family of God. We can know God. We can be a part of his family and kingdom. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Now, don't let this word right here confuse you. This doesn't mean that you got to join the staff of Gwinnett Church this week, all right? I know we think priest, okay, I got to go into the ministry. No, what this means is that wherever it is or whatever it is that your role may be, as an employee or leader or boss or teacher or son or daughter, whatever it may be, God is growing you up so that you can do the task that is called before you. So whatever that task is, whatever your roles are, what God is saying is, through Jesus, I want to share his worthiness with you, and I'm going to grow you up to do what I've called you to do. And what this verse means is really this equation. It's one of the things I want to leave you today with, that Jesus plus you is greater than whatever you would fill in that blank. Jesus plus you is greater than whatever weighty, mighty, challenging task that you don't think that you can lift up on your own. Jesus wants to say, but together, all things are possible for those who believe. Jesus plus you is greater than this. And he wants to share his worthiness with you. No matter if it's a financial situation, relationship situation. In fact, Wendy and I saw another example of this week. Wendy's grandfather passed away this week, and I didn't have a grandfather growing up. My mom's dad was an alcoholic, and I never knew him. And my father's dad passed away when I was a little boy, so I barely have any memories of him. So when Wendy and I married over 20 years ago, I inherited a grandfather, which was awesome. And he was, I mean, if you could know this guy, he was absolutely phenomenal, the perfect grandfather. And so this week, we lost him. And we said our goodbyes. But it wasn't farewell. It was see you later. because Jesus plus Everett Major Sr. is greater than death. Jesus plus Everett Major Sr. is greater than the grave. Nothing is bigger or greater or more powerful than Jesus, not even the grave. And what that means for us today is this. You might not get 88 years like my grandfather-in-law did. I might not get 88 years because none of us are promised tomorrow. And yet, while none of us are promised tomorrow, all of us can be promised forever because of Jesus. And he wants to share that worthiness with you. And whatever task, challenge, difficulty, good thing or challenging thing, Jesus wants to come along and say, you know what? Together, I can lift this. We can lift this. We can do this. No matter what it may be. So here's our two questions. Am I worthy of the task? And do I have what it takes? Well, it depends on your view of Jesus. And so here's how I'd want to land today, and I want to give you a chance to respond today. For some of you, you've got a big, big, challenging thing in front of you. And I know that. I get your emails. I get your phone calls. We understand that as a staff. And we completely understand this, but, you know, nobody calls us and goes, hey, just want to let you know, I'm having a fantastic week this week, all right? Just want to let you know. Talk to you later. We'll see you on Sunday. Those aren't the phone calls that we get. We understand the weighty task, and we understand the wonderful things that are going on as well. But some of you, you've got a big thing that's weighing you down right now. And so what I want to give you a chance to do, I want to give you a chance to respond, to simply say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need your worthiness. I need your presence. I need your power. And so in a second, we're going to sing a song, and we're as a church just going to sing that to Jesus. Sing that to his heavenly Father. Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you. But for some of us today, here's how I want you to respond. Some of us have never asked Jesus to become our Savior and to become your Lord. Some of us have never, if you will, raised our hand, if you will, and invited Jesus into our lives. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock at your heart. And anyone who opens the door, anyone who raises their hand and opens up the door to their heart, I love this how Jesus says it. Anyone who opens the door, we're going to go out to dinner together. I love that. In other words, Jesus says, so if you'll open up the door of your heart, I'll become your guide. I'll become your friend. I'll become your Savior. But for some of us, you never raised your hand to heaven yet. You've never opened up the door of your heart. And I'm not being critical. I'm saying this is an incredible opportunity for you to experience Revelation chapter 5 to say, Jesus, I want you to share your worthiness and your grace and your forgiveness with me. And when you do, you invite Jesus to become your guide and your Lord and your Savior. And so in just a few minutes, I'm going to give you a chance to do that. In just a few minutes, we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask those of you who would want today to be your day to place your faith in Jesus, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand today. And here's why, there's so many reasons why I want you to do this, but here's something that's really on my heart today for you as our church, at our church. You see, I hope you love our church. If you've got kids today in Wombaland and Upstreet, I think they're going to have an amazing time. If you've got students in transit or students down at the walk, down at the beach, I think they're having an amazing time. If you've got financial some pressure, I hope that you'll join a Financial Peace University small group. I hope that you'll join a Starting Point group and process whatever questions that you have about God. I hope you go through a drive-through and somebody buys your breakfast with a Four Gwinnett sticker on their car. I hope that happens. I hope you enjoy the times when we have outdoor tailgating and it rains and we have indoor tailgating. I love that. I want that to happen as well. I want you to love our church. But if you go through all of this and your kids love it and you love it, and you have a great small group, but you've never placed your faith in Jesus, I have failed you as your pastor here. And so every once in a while, we just want to pause and go, you've done this, right? There's a moment in time where you've raised your hand and said, Jesus, for all of heaven to see, will you come and be my Savior? And will you come and be my guide? Will you let your worthiness flow from heaven, from Calvary to me? And may I share in your worthiness? And can you help lift this for me and carry this forward? And so today, I want this to be your day if you've never raised your hand, if you will, and placed your faith in Jesus. So this time I'm going to ask everybody to bow your heads, and we're going to go into time of prayer, and then we're going to transition into our response as a church today to simply say, Lord, I need you. But I want to give those of you an opportunity who've never placed your faith in Jesus to say, you know what, Lord, I need you as my Savior. And with every head bowed, I'm just going to ask you, if today, if you want to let heaven know that you want to place your faith in Jesus, will you raise your hand right now? Thank you. And you can just pray this prayer silently after me. Father, I've raised my hand to heaven, and I believe in the life of Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. And today's the day when I share in the worthiness and the grace and the power of the cross. And you can put your hands down. Father, thank you for the fact that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is alive in our hearts. And today, however this message lands for us today, we're going to cry out as a church, as individual, Lord, I need you. I need you as my Savior. I need you as my friend. I need you as my guide, because we know through you, you can lift whatever it is that is facing us. And so at this time, I'm going to ask all of our church to stand. Father, as we stand to sing this song, we collectively sing it to you as a worship, as a praise, and a prayer. Lord, we need you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one who guides my heart. So we sing, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you. You're my hope and stay. Jesus. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Hold Jesus.